Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to Acton Wall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Bermondsey. Accept no substitute.
Hello dear listeners, welcome to the voicemail show. But first up is not a voicemail, it's a real life conversation. It's Mr. Graham Payne. How are you, Graham?
Good, Nick. Good. So, you know, please, it's all done and dusted. We can enjoy the last two games stress-free.
Just as the call started, listeners, I put the edited highlights on YouTube. I'll have a quick look at that before I start talking to Graham. And it's actually finished in the time that I've just done the little welcome bit. So that really does give you a measure of yesterday's game. It was nondescript, Graham. I think that's the best, most diplomatic, assessment I can make. It was a good win, but it was a holiday game. I thought it was just like everyone was thinking about Ryanair and which destination they're going to go to. Certainly on the Sunderland side.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they really had nothing to play for, did they? Mid table, you know.
No.
And as you say, I don't think they were on the beach, but you know, it was good.
It was a good win.
To get the win and get it all, you know, done and dusted.
I mean, the big story, of course, listeners, as you would have gathered elsewhere on Millwall Twitter and social media, is that secures championship safety for next season, which really was what it was all about, Graham. Just on that, we'll come back to the game in a moment, such as it was, but that is a huge achievement. I was trying to put it in the kind of in the list of great Millwall achievements. I mean, for me, and you go back a while yourself, I know, but I always think of the Jules Graham Great Escape in the early 80s, where we would have basically dodged non-existence, I think, if we'd gone down to Division 4. So this isn't quite in that category of truly great achievements. That was done with, I think, the last six or seven games to go in the season when we were looking dead and buried. But this is a big achievement, and I think it's worth taking our collective hats off to Neil Harris for what he's done there, because while we didn't look dead and buried, we were spinning out of control under the late period of Joe Edwards, and we were not looking like we were going to survive in this league.
Yeah, I totally agree with the first point about, I think, the Jules Graham one is, you know, one of my first real memories, and that was an amazing escape, really, from where they were. Yeah. But, yeah, getting back to, yeah, I mean, I think we can all agree that if Joe Edwards would have stayed in charge, I think we would have gone down. And you could see it was done. The team had lost all confidence in him, and you know he was out of his depth then, unfortunately. But I mean, I wasn't overjoyed about Neil Harris coming back, but you can't. He's done what he's come back to do, and he's done it well, hasn't he? You know.
It does divide opinion. It divides opinion online. It fascinates me, really, because, you know, I don't know how long I've been going, 50 years, I know how long I've been going down this path. I haven't learned it after 50 years, and I never will do. But you kind of think that the achievement of Millwall Football Club should be first, foremost, and front and centre. But some people seem to have almost like a personal angle that they, if it's Neil Harris achieving it, then somehow it's got to be lessened or reduced. I think it's been an immense achievement because, as you've just said, I mean, you know, sadly, and I did applaud the ambition of the Joe Edwards experiment, but it was, when you read the account, I think the last game he had was a 2-0 home loss to Sheffield Wednesday, Graham. And I did the live thing with Harry last night, and I just took the chance to read the the post-match comments, and there was a defeatism, almost like a stick, you know, like Southend down the middle of a stick of rock in his post-match comments. And that, you know, if you want one thing, listeners, it's since Neil Harris has come back, there's been no talk. We won't hear of defeat. It's Millwall this, Millwall that. You know, everyone takes the mickey out of the Millwallness cliche word. But it's been positive front foot stuff. Now, you can talk about the football ground. But football's a really harsh business because there's only one bottom line. That's what the full-time scoreline is. You know, you get no more points for playing beautifully than you do scrapping it. And I can't take my... I can't get away from the bottom line. That's 20 points, I think I said last night, from 33 potentials in 11 games. It's quite an achievement.
I think it was Harry made the point on your show last night about the fact that, you know, you want, as much as the, you know, the home form is where you want to see it, the home games is where you want to see it.
Absolutely.
Neil Harris knows how to win and get the Den going and win games at the Den. And, you know, to turn the home form around like he did, I think it's four wins and a draw since he come back. You know, you can't beat that, in my view. And as I say, I wasn't overly keen on him coming back when it happened, but you know, I can't, what can I say? He's proved me totally wrong. I honestly thought it'd be a real scrap and it'll go probably to the last couple of games.
Yeah, you know, Plymouth next right week. I thought Plymouth next week would be a crucial one. And then obviously that long last day away trip to Swansea, which was looking like I was actually weighing up whether it might be, you know, get up at a crack of dawn and go down there for a crucial one. But not now. I ain't going down there now, listeners. watch it on the telegram. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. 16th position there for the Lions. Potential 6 points still to play for this season. So we could finish as many as 59 if, you know, which at the moment that's where Bristol City are in 12th position, which would be quite a turnaround in form if we achieve that. It's going to be interesting to see how he plays these last two games, whether he'll want the points or maybe, as the great criticism of Harris online appears to be, he might bring some of the youngsters into play and give them a chance, give them a run out with safety assured. I think certainly for Plymouth, it might be the standard first choice 11 with maybe some youngsters on the bench, you know, bring them in if depending on how the game goes. I can't see it being a totally experimental 11, can you?
Not for the Plymouth, not the Plymouth home game. I think he'll play his tried and trusted next week. As you say, maybe a few of the youngsters on the bench, and if things are going well, give them 20 minutes, half an hour, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just so nice to not go over there next week when stress or any worries is done. Yeah.
There's a fantastic post-match interview. We mentioned it last night. I'll mention it again and make no apologies. The club have put the whole, you know, post-match interview. Do that more often, Millwall. Don't just give us this 1 minute, then you've got to pay a fiver to listen to the manager. It was a really strong interview, Graham. I mean, I defy anyone out there that's not seen it not to watch it and not feel the hairs rise on the back of your neck. It's that level of Millwall-ness. A really, really brilliant post-match interview, I thought, with Neil Harris.
Yeah, I totally agree. And as you say, it's good that they made the interview available rather than the snippets we normally get, you know, without paying.
You get a minute's worth.
Definitely do that more often, you know.
Absolutely.
But yeah, he's a very good interview. And I think it says everything about him, I think, really, as far as Millwall's concerned, you know.
Apologies, listeners, for my voice. I'm, as you might be able to tell from the husky jazz singer tones, I've been suffering with a cold the last few days. So I don't know if I sound like Nina Simone. It's that. Brilliant post-match interview, Graham. Safety now assured. It's going to be a very interesting summertime. We've obviously got a period of change ahead of us. There's going to be some leaving. One or two extensions. That was Ryan Leonard, Tom Bradshaw and George Saville, which... None of which I'm particularly unhappy with, are you? I mean, they've all triggered clauses in their contract. There wasn't much that anyone could do about it. But I'm happy with those three as a base.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, a little thing, I think it's been said on the pod a few times. We do seem to hang on to players a bit too long. And the only fear with two of them extensions, is that they're injury prone. Bradshaw and Leonard are very injury prone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but... if that's the deal that they signed, where, you know, if they played so many games in the last year of their contract, they get another contract, then the club's tired, isn't it? They can't, you know.
No, it can't. They've triggered the clause. So, you know, it's a year's worth of work for them. So, that's how they've got to look at it from a personal point of view, yeah.
I don't think Hutch is going to get another year, though. I think him and Bart will be the two to leave out of the contract.
It's going to be interesting to see some of the youngsters that are on loan, whether they come back. I'm thinking here of the Adam Malakis, who I thought was quite attractive when I saw him. I've only got one or two glimpses of him to go by, Graham, but same with Chin Akoli, who's been on loan, I think, at Bromley. I think he's back now with the squad at the Den. And Alex Mitchell, a great mystery up at the, in Lincoln, have had a decent season. So, we've said it many, many times, Jake Cooper plays best with a good man alongside him. Whether any of those, whether Akoli or Mitchell, will be that man, it's going to be a question. Or do we need to strengthen at centre-back? I don't know. I think Jake has looked like a rejuvenated version of him, almost like the Jake of old. But he does depend on his partner. He's not good when he's single.
I'd love to see him sign Tanganga, but I don't suppose it'll happen, but he's got better and better with every game, that guy, for me.
Yeah, I'm presuming he's out of it, and same with Obafemi up front. I'm presuming they're going to be out of our price range. I don't know. These are the big conversations. Many have speculated on Zian Fleming's future, whether there's a deal on the table. It may well come to that. We will have to lose some to get some, so, you know, we'll see what the summertime brings. I think also there's a question as to what kind of football we want to play. You know, Neil Harris has obviously historically was a fairly route one kind of direct kind of man, really, you know, with the classic Morrison and Gregory front two back in the day. We don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
Do you think his football's adjusted to the championship? Any, Graham? I mean, the results, I suppose, do the talking on that front, but that's going to be an interesting thing. And what kind of football we'll play next season?
Yeah, I mean, part of me thinks the football we've played since he's come back is because of the situation,
injury-wise,
especially with the and where we were in the league, and he wanted to make us, you know, stop leaking goals, because we were letting lots of goals in under Joe Edwards. It'd be interesting to see what sort of summer we have, you know, as we always say every summer, in the transfer market, because I think he's definitely got to get another, probably two forwards in, you know, someone with a bit of height, I would have thought, with the way he likes to play.
Yeah, there was a move yesterday, just going back to that drab game, listeners, we were pressing forwards, and there was, I think, Longman had got forward on the right side and was looking for a ball in, but there's no one there. You know, there's no one actually in there, whatever their height or physical presence, there's just no one there. So we do need a bit more nous and a bit more steel up front. I don't know, you know, if Neil knows anyone, or whether the scouting has found anyone, whether that's at home or abroad, I don't know. But that must be a major area where the red line, you know, circle around it to say an area to improve. We don't score enough goals, Graham. If we don't score goals in this division, we're going to struggle again.
So, that's been a problem for many a season, Nick, not just this season, the scoring.
No, it's been a problem, really. I mean, Matt Smith was probably our best striker. Which, you know, I mean, he's doing okay in League Two now with Salford. But it says something when he was probably our most promising striker for some time. So it's an area to look at, and I suppose there's various points around the squad. Would you think about the goalkeeper? Would that be less of an issue? Obviously, Bart looks like he's at the end of the road now.
They're going to have to bring a backup. I think they'd have to bring another keeper in. He's just prone to the odd mistake. It's like the goal last week against Cardiff, and I can think of one or two others. But, you know, over the past few, since Harris again has come in, I think he's looked fairly safe, but I think another keeper will come in, whether it'll be to challenge Sarkic or just a backup, I don't know.
Stronger defence helps your goalkeeper, doesn't it? I mean, you know, if your defence is playing well and
I think you said it last night. I think you've got to give a shout out to Danny Mack. I think he's played very, very well recently.
Absolutely. Out of position. And, you know, a defensive performance generally, but he's part of that, which you'd think it would be a weak area, but it's not been a weak area, far from it. No, I think he's really come into his own, Danny. I think he's had to show a lot of maturity in that role. And he's done really, really, really well. So, nice goal yesterday, incidentally. I just wanted to, just going back to the game yesterday, it was a nice break. It was a long one, moved down the right, long one cross in. And Watmore put himself in the danger zone. I thought he got it. It might have come off of Ballard, I don't know. But finished up in the roof of the net, one way or the other.
Yeah.
Nice move. Really see it coming at the time.
He's another player, Nick. Ryan Longman. I've changed my opinion on and off of him all the time. But the Longman, since, again, I think I would try and sign him for next season, Longman.
He looked all right yesterday. He shows a bit of skill on the ball. He can pull off these spectacular goals. We've seen a couple of them this season. Big moments, and you need players that can do these big, big things in tight situations, and he's shown he can do that. I'd agree. If we can land him, then was someone calling the Red Heel Ronaldo? I thought that was quite nice. that's quite a nice tag. The Red Heel Ronaldo. So fantastic away win in the end. I mean, it wasn't the most compulsive of spectacles, Graham. It was an hour and a half that drifted a very sedate pace yesterday. But thankfully, that's Championship football assured, which is number one. I think we've mentioned Neil Harris already. I think yesterday's achievement was Neil Harris's achievement. I know he'd always mention the squad. The squad have turned around the season. When you look at the form in the early part under Rowett and then under Joe Edwards, I had some big question marks over this squad of players, Graham, if I'm going to be honest. For some reason, Neil Harris has tapped into, I must use the word, their Millwallness. You know, he's found it, he's got hold of it and dragged it out of them. But, I mean, when you look back at that Rowett era where, you know, people went to Norwich and it was very nondescript, and then Joe Edwards, that story has been told many, many times. So I've got to take my hat off to the squad in their ability to turn it around, because I didn't really think they had it in them, if I'm honest with you, Graham.
No, I think them two, I know I can't keep harping on, but them two defeats at Huddersfield and Rotherham did start questioning the squad again.
Yeah.
Whether they were up for it. But, I mean, then to win three on a spin, I think that's, you know. I think even Neil Harris mentioned it in the interview about Millwall to lose to the bottom of the league team and then go and beat the top of the league team.
I think those two defeats, Rotherham and Huddersfield, anyone that watched them will know how poor a show it was. Games that I think Harris said in his post-match interview we should have won, I think that really rangled him. I think he must have given him seven bells afterwards, because you could just tell. And he mentioned it, this kind of Millwall thing of losing to the poorest sides and then going and beat Leicester, the top team in the division, looking like they're Premier League bound, decent side. Raising their game against Southampton and Leicester and then falling over their shoelaces at Rotherham and Huddersfield, relegated sides, or Huddersfield all but. I think that's a Millwall thing that kind of annoys him in a way, because it's not focusing on the essentials. I think what this squad, just going back to my point, Graham, I think unless they're pumped up to the maximum, you know, eyeballs bursting and veins bulging on their foreheads, unless they're doing that, they take it too casually. And they took it too casually. I think they thought they could just put the shirt on, run out of Rotherham, and that, victory was theirs. They're not that good. I think maybe that was the point that Harris made. I don't know if it's not been made. It should be apparent.
About right, Nick.
Unless they're bringing their maximum A game, they're not going to compete.
Yeah.
So there we are. Anyway, analysis. Graham, I've taken a lot of your Sunday morning, mate. I really appreciate your time coming on the show. Good to talk to you, mate. And again, you're becoming Mr. Victory. Victory G. 1-0 win at Sunderland yesterday. Listeners, we're going to switch over now to some of the voicemails that have been sent to me. Big thank you, Graham Payne. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Cheers, Nick. Thank you, mate.
And we'll be right back after these messages, almost certainly with Mr. Bobby T.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello?
Nick Hart, Bobby T! Not at the stadium like today, at work. Didn't watch it, who gives a fuck? What more can I ask for? Black Cats nil, Lions won. Championship status is secure. Bye for now. Love you all. Mewol.
Short and sweet there from Mr. Bobby T. Big thank you, Bob, for sending in your messages this season, mate. Really do lighten the show and always make me laugh. I don't know about you, dear listeners, but Bobby's got a unique style and I really like it. But yeah, I think you captured it all in a nutshell there, mate. By not seeing the game, I don't think you missed much yesterday. As we've said already, if you're working, then fair play. But it was job done and championship status retained, which is really what it was all about from the moment that Neil Harris crossed the threshold back at the Den, back in February 22nd, I think he said it was. Incidentally, we've mentioned the post-match interview. I'm just looking at the my Twitter likes feed, and there's a comment by Macca, by Keith Mackay, about Neil Harris's post-match interview, which is available on the Millwall Twitter feed. Do have a look at it if you haven't seen it already. It's well worth it. I can't believe there won't be many that haven't seen it. But anyway, do have a look if you get a chance. As Macca says here, compare this interview, the one with Neil Harris yesterday, with the one post-Huddersfield, where he's basically was on the brink of, he wasn't very happy, let's put it that way, without the Huddersfield performance. Keith says, whatever Harris did or said after that game, whatever kick up the arse he gave the players, it has saved us from relegation and a financial abyss that is not even worth contemplating. Survival was critical, says Macca, and this man delivered it. And that's spot on as well, Macca. They're dropping into League One. When you look at some of the clubs down in that division, and no disrespect to them, you know, we've been there before. We know what it's like in League One. But you are talking about very different calibre of revenue generations, shall we say. I'm just looking at the remainders that will be in the team in the division next season in League One. You've got Bristol Rovers. Big games will be Charlton and Reading, maybe Leighton Orient. Otherwise, you're talking about Burton Albion, Cambridge, Exeter. That's the level that you're at down there. So, whatever method he's achieved it, I think we should all take our collective hats off and acknowledge Neil Harris's achievement there, because it would have been a wasteland next season. You know, we've all got used to slightly, certainly official crowds, maybe not the actual attendance, but the official attendance at the Den being close to sellouts most games now this season, which is an amazing thing in itself. You wouldn't have got that in League One, I can tell you that much, dear listeners. So, 100% there to Macca. Okay, we've got a few voicemails here for you now, listeners. We're going to run with Steve Morton, Angelo, and then James Dudley.
Ho, 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 ho! Where do you want your statue, Neil Harris? Oh, my God, Nick, what a result. What an unbelievable masterstroke bringing the Sir Bomber Neil Harris back to the Den. Unbelievable. He just wasn't on my radar when they made the change. Fantastic. Steve Morton here from, and actually is Sonny Bolton for once today, and gutted we couldn't get up to Sunderland today, because that would have been some celebration. But absolutely over the moon with that result, and it's been nothing short of miraculous what he's done since he's come back in. I've not said anything about the future. A lot of people talking about he can get us through this season but can't do the future. I think that's really disrespectful. He's come in, he's done a job. He absolutely has to have a chance in the window. People will slag me off for this, but if you look back, Bomber has had some good transfer windows over the years, as well as some poor selections. There aren't many managers that get it 100% right. He's brought in some decent players over the years. One thing I'd like, it's never going to happen, but I would absolutely love him to bring in a really top quality coach. Dare I say even Joe Edwards, which will never happen. But that style of coach, a little bit new, quick thinking, different train of thought, train the players to play or to be technically better, but play with the heart and passion. And I don't think the tactics are always that bad from Bomber. Look, let's just enjoy this. This is absolutely fantastic. Having the Rotherham and Huddersfield games, we was at the Huddersfield game and really thought we were rock bottom. Thought we were unlucky on the day, actually. But you're rock bottom when you get a last-minute winner against you. And look how it's turned around in the last couple of weeks with three brilliant wins. And well done, Bomber. Let's finish the season in style. Let's see a couple of these youngsters, obviously, SSA. But I'd really like to see Mayer get some game time. And let's enjoy the rest of this season. Have a great summer. And look forward to next year in the Championship. Come on, you Lions. Keep up the good work, Nick. Fantastic. Can't wait to hear everybody's responses. Looking forward to a really great night and a great week ahead. All the best. Come on, you Lions.
Morning, Nick. Angelo, mate. Just a couple of words on yesterday. Not really a lot to say about the game. It was a bit of a drab affair. Just a couple of shout-outs. I thought Lenny kept that. Jack Clark, very, very quiet, so well done to him. I thought Savile had a really good game, and a brilliant cross from Longman, really, for the goal. No idea if it's still, if it's an own goal or it was a Watmore goal, but who cares? We got the points. And finally, we are mathematically safe, which is credit to Mr. Neil Harris. I loved his... loved his interview with Millwall TV at the end, and, you know, he said that all his family are... you know, wear Millwall tops, and I can vouch for that. My son is friends with Neil Harris's son, and the guy, you know, Neil Harris's son is a proper Millwall fan, you know. So long may this continue. Let's keep Harris in charge for as long as we possibly can while he's still got the fire in his belly. Absolutely brilliant job by the man. There's just no two ways about it. Anybody that says that he should walk away is just stupid. You know, we've got to keep him in charge for as long as he's got that fire in his belly. And what I'd like to see, Nick, is that when he, if he does get to the stage where he's burnt out again or thinks they might need a change, move the man upstairs. Yeah, move Neil Harris upstairs. Keep him in the club forever. It's as simple as that. Because he's proved it, that he understands... He understands how Millwall tick, and we owe the guy for saving us from relegation and coming back and doing what he said. He said he'd come back and help out to John Berrison. So yeah, brilliant. Look forward to summer transfer dealings. Let's hope that we find a few gems and some of these under 21 players make the step up. But yeah, fantastic, mate. Really, really pleased the job has been achieved. And yeah, and that's it. So thank you very much, Neil Harris. And let's go to a game next Saturday, and no squeaky bum times. Brilliant. Hope you're well, Nick. Catch you later. Come on, you Lions.
Hello, Nick. James Dudley here. Just wanted to say that anybody that thinks that Neil Harris shouldn't be in charge next season needs their heads testing, because what he's done for us this year, keeping us up, has been unreal. I can't believe that that we've got so many points, and hopefully he's in charge next season and given a bit of budget. Thanks.
Huge thank you, James, Angelo and Steve. All on the similar theme, I think. I wouldn't mind betting, listeners, that all of us listening to this show, everyone in and around the Millwall scene, will be having similar thoughts. So that said, you do read some negativity online from time. We're going to come on to that, if we may. I make Steve and Angelo correct that the sheer love and the knowledge now, increasingly, I think that's apparent, is that Neil has come back. Yeah, an evolved manager. I believe that might be too much to, you know, to maybe too far. I don't know, but certainly he seems to be a more rounded manager with the experiences that he's had at Cardiff and then Gillingham and to some extent Cambridge. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting thing. I love your suggestion of Joe Edwards as a coach, Steve, because I think that would be the missing, whether it's Joe Edwards or someone else. But the thing that I really loved, and we've said this loads of times, and I'm going to say it again because it's my show, so why not? But the ambition and the top level qualities that Joe Edwards brought with him were really, were really ambitious. And I think everyone in the Millwall circle can agree that that's an area that we could really benefit from. Now, whether it is Joe Edwards or whether it's A.N. Other, I don't know, you know, other names. So I can't sit here and say get X or Y. But the linkage with the top players, we've seen the likes of Tanganga and Obafemi. I think, did he come in under Edwards? I believe he did. But you can see the quality. There's no substitute for it, listeners. So, you know, developing our own players into that next level, and working with someone with a clear love and knowledge of the club, which is really important, because I think that's where Edwards failed, unfortunately. He was not of Millwall. He hadn't played there like Harris has. He doesn't have the same instinctive feel for the way the crowd ebbs and flows at the Den. You know, not every manager will do that. So we do need to tap into that. It's our one secret weapon, as we've said many, many times on this and other shows. So I think retaining Neil Harris and his input, whether that's in the front line, heavy fire zone of front line management, is, I can see how that would burn you out. And I'm not sure. It's a very rare individual that's truly geared up for that. I'm not sure I'd be. Would you be, dear listener? Having people slate you and call you all sorts of names when your team has lost, or, you know, putting you on some kind of pedestal when you've won. I don't know. It'd be a rare individual that can take that and do well in it. Neil Harris seems to be, at the moment, in the zone where he's really enjoying his football at the Den and is extracting the maximum out of the squad. I was really intrigued by the interview. Everyone's mentioned the interview on Mill TV, and I said to Harry last night about the way, I can't remember how Neil put it now, but it was he's here for this, it'll be a year's contract now, 18 months, I think it'll be, the 6 months runs out during the course of the summertime, and then it's an 18-month contract, so it'll be 1 year next season in effect. And the way he was talking in the interview would be that would possibly largely be it. I'm hoping, as Angelo and Steve have suggested, that means he can take a walk upstairs into some kind of more, overarching role. I would love to see that. Anyway, that's all for the future. Big thank you, Steve, Angelo and James. Next up, I'm going to listen to Matt Richards. Have a listen to Matt now.
Nick, Matt Richards. Just quick one, really. Thoughts on yesterday's game. Well, thoughts on overall, really, I suppose, Harris. What an amazing job he's done. Incredible. It's difficult to put into words, really, what he's done for the club. And, you know, I mean, I wasn't 100% behind him coming back, because I thought it was a bit of a backward step, but you know, stroke of genius, really, by the club, and shows what you can do with you know, some discipline and motivation, and just kind of doing the basics. And with a fair degree of skill as well. I mean, I know yesterday wasn't a great performance, but it was a great defensive performance. You know, kept Jack Clark quiet and nicked the goal. You know, and that's all. It's been about results these last few games since Harris has come back, and he's delivered. So it's brilliant to see. And we play some decent stuff as well. I just talked about the game yesterday. I thought Longman did well. I thought Tanganga is getting better in every match, really. Danny Mack played really well. Defence played really well. And Ryan Leonard, obviously, as well. So brilliant stuff. I'm getting a bit, not frustrated is the wrong word, but these people making like these little comments about Harris and he won't play the young players. I mean, it's the oldest trope in the book of people coming out, oh, you've got to play young players, got to play young players. He does play young players, and you've got to bring them in slowly. I mean, it's easy to say, oh, we should be playing SA. SA played the first half last week against Cardiff, and you know, he wasn't great, you know, so he pulled him off and he brought on Watmore. You know, it's like Amaku, when he came on against Blackburn in the first half, he didn't do great. You know, we've got to give them time. You can't just chuck them in straight away. I just don't get it. Fans just keep going, oh, Harris won't play the youngsters. Edwards didn't play the youngsters. Rowett didn't play the youngsters. Guess why? Because they're just not ready. We all want young players to come through. We want to see this PDL team do well, and we want to see them break through. But you can't just chuck them all in. It's, it just does my head in, really. Everyone just going, oh, he won't play the youngsters. SA will be off, and Marco will be off. They won't, because they're not that good. You know, I mean, they've got talent, they've got potential, but you've got to bring them in at the right pace. And they just, yeah. Gets on my nerves, really. We've got quite a few young players that come into the team. You know, you've got Danny. I know they're not as young as they used to be. And Billy. But that's because we brought them in gradually. They went out on loan and then came back in. You know, hopefully we've got a few coming back in, like with Mitchell and stuff, like Alex Mitchell from Lincoln. But, it's just laziness. It's laziness by fans to say, oh, we're bringing the young players. We need to play the young players. Play them all. It's just, yeah, idiots, really. Sorry, I'm sorry, Nick. I just like get fed up with it, really. Yeah, anyway. I shouldn't be like that, really, but it's just winding me up, I mean, after yesterday's performance. But anyway, well done, Neil Harris. Well done, the team. Well done to all the fans that went out to Sunderland. It's, you know, a couple more games now, a couple of decent performances, but let's look ahead to next year. And Harris deserves his chance next year. You know, it's give him a chance. You know, back him. You know, I don't know who we think we're going to bring in on our budget who's suddenly going to make us into a team of world beaters who can play Man City type football. It's not going to happen. Get real. Anyway, that's me being a bit pissed off and negative, but I shouldn't be because if we've stayed up, so that's a bit weird. But anyway, cheers, Nick. Great result. Come on, your Lions.
Excellent stuff from Matt. I agree with you 100%, Matt, about the negativity online. I mean, we all read it. We all know what gets said on there. And this thing about the young players. It's going to be interesting to see which players break through from that under-21 side. It was last May, wasn't it? I went down there. It was a summer's evening. To go, you know, watch them win their divisional cup or whatever the trophy was. And the thing with young players, listeners, there was a post in the week, and I think it was an England under-20 team from a couple of years ago, with, you know, it's like a list of, it was a team that played, might have been in the Toulon tournament, one of those summertime UEFA organised tournaments in France. And it was quite interesting to see how many of this England side, under-20 England side, how many you'd never heard of. There was only one name that stuck out at me. There was one boy for Arsenal, but the main name was Jude Bellingham. He was in this team that started against Belgium, or I don't know who it was against. But it was really striking how few make it. Now, you know, it's a very obvious lesson of football that not many young players make it. You're amongst a very elite group to even be playing professional football, let alone make it, in inverted commas. So, you know, those amongst the under 21 side in May, the Millwall winning team, and some of the ones at the moment in our younger sides that are scoring and doing really well. I think the practical reality of the game is, listeners, that very few of them actually make the step up. And the reason for that is, of course, that the professional men's game at the very top level, or the championship level, because there's levels above us by a long stretch, well, you know, Premier League and European and world levels, the further up you go, the harder and harder, and the better the opponents, and the more they try to undo your set of skills. And what looks attractive and impressive in run-out games against your peers, your age peers, when you come up against highly seasoned, highly experienced defenders, midfielders, managers, who can unpick your skill set, because they've seen it, unfortunately, many, many times before, then, you know, it's a chastening experience. Not everyone can think their way through those situations. We can all think of players that we thought were pretty good that didn't really ever step on. And now, how many of the Mill youth side will make it? I don't know. I mean, I'm interested to see what comes from the summertime. You know, the names I've mentioned, I think, to Harry yesterday of Adam Malarkey, who I thought was an impressive player in that final in last May, and possibly Chinakole. But whether he's good enough to go into a championship central defence and take on, in some cases, international level players coming at him, I don't know. These are the judgments that you look for from coaches that have been there, seen it and done it. And it's dead easy for, you know, Herbert Sherbert sitting behind his keyboard in his bedroom, that, you know, with an opinion, to say this, that and the other. They have no impact, but also they're not liable for the consequences of their decisions. So the coaches and the scouts at the club and the management, they are. Their livelihood depends on it. And they would have seen promising youngsters many, many times. Sad but true, not all of them make it. I'm not going to make any comment on the relativity of SA and Imaku. They look pretty good players to me. But SA, you know, he's, when he's come into games, he's sometimes had an impact and sometimes less so. And I imagine that's going to be possibly the story of his career. Imaku, I think, has got a lot of raw talent, but possibly, as we've seen with, who was the boy, the Irish boy we had a couple of years, Troy Parrott on loan, came into us highly regarded and is now playing, I think, at Milton Keynes, you know, in obscurity. So it's a tough business, football. Very, very tough business. And there's no prisoners are taken. So, yeah, I hear you. Negativity. How can you be negative when you've survived in the Championship? Only Millwall fans can do that, dear listeners. Let's have a listen there to Barry Moon and then Craig Jones.
Hello, Nick. Barry Moon here. Just absolutely chuffed today for Neil Harrison and the boys. I was against him anyway coming back, but I've got to be fair. He's done his part and he's done really well. So I'm really looking forward to the next season there. See what happens and who we buy and who we don't, who we let go. Because I think we have got the nucleus of a good squad. And let's see how he gets on there. Because I must admit, his football does seem a bit better to it. That's the last time. I must admit, he has got better players. So it's going to be very interesting to see who we sign and who comes in and goes out. I'm so happy for him and I'm so happy that we've made it. All right. Cheers, mate. Have a good summer.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, Nick. Morning, afternoon, evening, Acton. I think it's safe to say we're safe. Unless Sheffield Wednesday pull off a near record win and other results go against us and we absolutely stuff it against Plymouth and Swansea, I think it's safe to say that we are going to be a Championship club next season. They say mathematically we're still in the fight, but come on, we're staying up. Not really going to talk much about the game because there wasn't really much to talk about apart from Ballard and Fleming having a bit of a tiff and what more, slotting in a goal, which, to be fair, a boring first half, and then us just scoring a goal with probably the only decent chance in the whole game was proper Harris shithousery, which was pretty much us digging in and and just being thoroughly professional against a team that I think are pretty much on the beach. But yeah, we can't argue with the stats. 3 wins in a row, average points total of 1.8 per game with Harris since he's come back. And yeah, a lot of positives to come out of the end of this debacle of a season. Yeah, fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And it's just goes to show that maybe we just needed someone that could just instill a bit of belief, a bit of oomph into the side and give a bit of a wake-up call. Maybe even, like Harris said in his post-match interview, give a bit of a rollicking every now and again. You know, give a bit of a wake-up call of their self-respect and belief and their abilities. And I think it's helped that Tanganga has been on form as well, and Obafemi has been brilliant as soon as he's gotten, well, both have gotten fit. And yeah, the players that were really struggling, we've done it the hard way, but we've managed it. And thank God, bloody hell, what a season! But we're safe, really safe. And also, sorry, I'm doing a bit of a Bobby T here, sending you another comment. But just not really to do. It kind of involves me a little bit, but yeah, the whole thing with the FA Cup. What the bloody hell? What are they playing at? And reading Steve Cannon's very, very strong words about the fact that he wasn't consulted, or none of the FA blaming the EFL teams. And it's absolute bollocks. Complete bollocks. The whole thing with football was that it's meant to be, you know, a community. We're not.
Massive thank you to Barry and to Craig for those 2 messages. I make you right, Barry, that we do have a nucleus of a good squad. There's going to be some changes enforced. I mean, we will see whether the likes of Obafemi, a lone player, and Tanganga, another lone player, and even Longman, I think he's on loan at the moment. He's probably the most signable of that little group, because the other 2 I would expect are going to be on pretty high money. We'll see. We don't know what, you know, moves are afoot within the club and what deals are being talked about. I think the security now of, you know, barring a mathematical insanity, Craig, you're right. I think Sheffield Wednesday can still just about reach the same level as us if they're going to overturn a large, you know, goal deficit. But anyway, let's take it that it's most unlikely that we'll go down. I think safety is the word that we can probably use with some confidence. It's going to be interesting to see what tone is set for the club's direction going forwards. I do think, to James Berylson's credit, that as we saw with the appointment of Joe Edwards back in October, I think James Berylson is an ambitious man. I think he wants to make his mark in English football. His dad has made his mark in English football and is, you know, revered. I've never known a chairman at the club that he's held in such high esteem as the late John Berylson. I think that as Jimmy will have his own reasons for wanting to pay tribute to his dad's legacy, and I think that will be something he would love to achieve with an ambitious, you know, the achievement of top flight status for the Lions. Now, that may require changes and investment. I don't know what levels the club can go to. I don't think any of us do. But certainly, I believe that there is an ambition there. And, you know, hopefully a slow but sure development of and sustainability of the club, it will be something that the, you know, the management and the ownership work together to produce. One other point, just listening to Craig, the Ballard versus Fleming thing was quite amusing. That was a bit of handbags. Dan Ballard, I think Fleming got under his skin a little bit, and there was a little bit of pushing and shoving and shouting and whatnot. But the other thing I wanted to mention, I don't think I've mentioned it, was Ryan Leonard's role in the move that produced the goal. I mentioned in real time the brilliant cross in, first time cross from Ryan Longman from the right that was converted by Duncan Watmore, or maybe Ballard as an own goal. But prior to that Longman cross, there was a wonderful series of tackles by Ryan Leonard. For a player that is, you know, has an injury track record as long as your arm, This was brave tackling and committed tackling, and it released the ball for that move going forwards. And I just wanted to take my hat off. He's probably a shoo-in for player of the season, listeners. I've not met a person yet that has not said anything other than Ryan Leonard for player of the season. But it's provided further evidence of his stature at the club. So, yeah, really, really nice work by Ryan Leonard. Brilliant first-time cross by Ryan Longman. And Watmore was in the mix to convert it, and it was nicely put away, whether by Duncan or by Dan Ballard. Either way, it worked. Two more messages, final two messages for this show. New voice, Sawyer Marsh, and then Simon Fay.
Hello, Nicky and Achtung Millwall. It's Sawyer from Vancouver, Canada. Long-time listener and Lions supporter, but I guess first-time voice note contributor. You know, sometimes I think why I get up so early on those Saturdays before the sun rises to watch my Lions for all the pain and despair it seems to bring, but it's moments and days like today that make it all worth it. I was definitely not on the enthusiastic side when we brought in Harris, but I will give the club the benefit of the doubt. There was a path where if we were to stay up, what it would look like. And this is exactly it. For the last however many weeks it's been scrappy, it's been fouling at the right times, it's been heart, it's been the long ball, and it's been taking the 1 to 2 chances we have a game and burying them. And the players seem to have bought into that wholeheartedly. And I couldn't be happier for the club, Harris, for the man who he is. And to be honest, some of these players who I was really, really hard on earlier in the season seem to have just dug as deep as humanly possible and really shown this to be a team that is playing greater than the sum of its parts. And for us to ever maintain ourselves in the championship and God knows ever have a shot at the playoffs ever again, Millwall's always going to have to be greater than the sum of its parts. And I think the last few weeks have shown that that's who we are. In the longer term, I do think that we will need to develop and modernize our game a little bit. But to be honest, I just want to focus on the happiness and wonder that is safety. So I'm wishing you all the best across the pond, and Achtung Millwall, and come on you Lions.
Good morning, Nick. Simon Fay just calling in after yesterday's win against Sunderland, guaranteeing us championship safety for another season. Oh my God, that was dire yesterday. I mean, I'll take the result, but that was a poor, poor game. But still, we win. Thank you, Daniel Ballard. I knew he was Millwall all along. Now with championship safety guaranteed, it's time to start looking at next season now. Obafemi, we need him, but we can't afford him. This is a big summer coming up. I know I've said it so many times, but it's true. Harris deserves his shot at next season. But he needs proper investment, and we need to get the right players, because that football over 46 games next season is only going to lead one way, which is League One. And after all the hard work of this season to keep us in the Championship, it seems pointless. We need wingers. We need to get the ball on the deck. That means that Harris has got to make some harsh decisions about players, then those decisions have got to be made. There's no more time for sentimentality now. We've got some decent players coming through from the under 21s, and they've proved it by winning their league again. The under 18s doing well in their league and winning the cup. The future's bright for Millwall. And I hear all this nonsense, you know, it's like, oh yeah, but you know, it's different playing against men. It's like, the only way they're going to learn is by playing. send them out on loan. Especially these, some of these under-23s. Send them out on loan. National League, League 2. It's the only way they're going to learn. And then we can reap the benefit in 2 years' time. Hopefully still in the Championship. We've got Alex Mitchell, who spent the last three seasons on loan at St Johnstone, Leyton Orient and Lincoln City. And a little known stat for you, but he won player of the year at all three. He won player of the year at all three clubs. What does that tell you about them? What does that tell you about the boy? If that's not ready for Championship football, then I don't know what is. I'm rambling now. On to Plymouth. Pressure off. Play some of the kids. Why not? Give them a go. It's not going to make any difference now. You know, get some of the under-23s in. So, you know, give them a taste of Championship football. See how they do. Doesn't matter whether they don't. Doesn't matter whether they don't do well. Just give them a taste, and then maybe that little taste will give them the hunger to push on next season and hopefully start banging on the door to get in the first team squad. Anyway, on to Plymouth. Thanks for that, mate. Appreciate that. Anyway, as I said, on to Plymouth. Championship safety. Come on, you lads.
Tremendous stuff there from Simon. And before Simon, Sawyer out there in Vancouver in Canada. I must admit, I didn't realise you were across the Atlantic, Sawyer. This mental image, I hadn't listened to your message until I edited it into the show today. And I don't know why the picture of you working in Canary Wharf or somewhere like that. I didn't realise you're out there in Vancouver. Anyway, nice to plant our Millwall flag in the great dominions of Canada. I do agree with Simon. It's a big summertime. Well, both boys have said the same thing, that you know, we need to up our game next season. Big summertime ahead, as you said, Simon. Obafemi, I don't know if we can afford him, but it's going to be interesting to see what deals are done, as we've said a few times across these shows. That was fascinating. I didn't realise that about Alex Mitchell, Simon. Player of the year at Lincoln, I think he said St Johnstone and Leyton Orient. I hadn't realised that at all. That's really interesting. Because that would make me think that he's on our player already. But he would, you know, if he wasn't our player, that would be exactly the kind of player that we would be looking to sign, I would think. Listeners, don't you agree? You know, as it is, he's ours. So going to probably expect him to come back. Whether Tanganga stays, I kind of doubt. You know, his sights must be set high. He's been a really good quality player for us, as Obafemi, as is increasingly so Ryan Longman. But certainly Obafemi and Tanganga have looked good quality. There's no substitute for the quality, listeners. It's, I think, sometimes the whole there's a lot of amusement online about this Millwallness that Neil Harris has spoken about. That's dug us out of a hole, and you do need that effort and commitment side that the Millwallness word implies. But in the end, whether you like it or not, a good quality player will always, 99.9% of the time, outdo a lower quality player. That's just the way it is, whether you like it or not. So, you know, no substitute for quality. But it's going to be interesting to see whether Mitchell comes back. As I've said already on this show, some of the other boys, Akoli and Adam Malarkey, who are both out on loan at the moment, whether they're good enough is going to be the question. Big thank you to Simon. That sounded like it was somewhere in the windy part of southeast London somewhere, Simon. And before that, Sawyer out there in Vancouver on the west coast of Canada. Would you like to join our little gang of contributors, dear listeners? I always appreciate any and every voice note message that I get post-game or any other time in the week, actually. I'll always do my best to include every single message that we can on these shows. I really enjoy them. I love doing the post-match reactions with the voicemails. I think it works really nicely. And if you do want to contribute, I'd love it. Give me a shout on Twitter. You can direct message me on Twitter. You could even send a message to me on Twitter, as I've said already. There's a voice facility if you're on an iPhone, certainly. You can send a voice message on Twitter, direct message. Or if we do a swapsy of mobile phone numbers, you can just, WhatsApp me your voice note direct. And you don't have a time limit on that. I think Twitter has a 2:20 time limit on each message. Unless you're Bobby, in which case you do like a whole series of messages, one after the other. Any of it works. I don't mind how it comes. I want to say a big thank you to everyone that's contributed to the show so far this season. We're not quite at the end of the season yet, although it's increasingly now feeling like we are. Got a show next week, obviously, with the Plymouth home game. I'll be at that game. We'll be doing a show in the aftermath of that. And if we get sufficient voicemails, I'll do a voicemail show next week. So do send them in. Otherwise, we're getting towards the kind of the holiday time now. So I just want to say a big thank you to everyone for contributing and listening to the show. We've been able to donate more money to the Lions Food Hub this week, £82, I think it was. I think we're on about £1,500 that we've donated for the season. One of our listeners made a fantastic and wonderful £200 donation to the Food Hub. So if I'm going to throw that in, I might as well, mightn't I, into our collective efforts, then that's about £1,700 we've put into a vital, great initiative. It does a lot of good work locally for local people. It's run by Kelly. You can drop your contributions off on a match day, financial or physical. They will appreciate both, actual food or money. That's been what it's all about. That's why we do this show. I really enjoy doing the show. I'm at the stage of the season now where I always think it'd be nice to have a break, and I will take a break once the season is done and dusted. But for now, we'll be back next week with possibly the final Achtung of the season next week. I might stick around for Swansea, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But until the next edition, I want to say a big thank you to everyone for listening and contributing. Give us a shout if you want to add your voice to the contributors. I really, really do appreciate it. Until the next edition, listen, it's me, Nick Hart, signing out. Arrivederci, Millwall. Bye for now. Achtung, Millwall.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code Program.